Episode 199. Welcome to Steel and Naz, presented by Hedge Better. We're here on Wednesday, October 29th. Steel, what's going on, bro? We're coming off the hiatus of a big WA Drifters. I think that was our last podcast, the live show. That went pretty well.
That went fantastic. Yeah. Fucking amazing. Great place, great food.
The brunch was phenomenal. I mean, I think I just cut that one clip of the brunch, but if you go on and go back to there, we had some outrageous vibes there.
Yeah, other than that, you know, we're grinding, ripping it.
Yeah, having a day.
Boy, you know what I mean?
Magic,
God bless it.
Magic Mike drives all that out. That didn't even come up either. Magic Mike drove all the way down to Pembroke for that banner that was barely even used, and now that's in my office in my house.
Yeah, perfect. Right where it should be. Full circle.
Well, I'll go a ways as we go here with the sponsors, but big shout out to Drifters Kitchen and Bar again from last week, located at 1464 Hancock Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. I always talk about the espresso martinis. I always talk about the oysters, but you know, if you're waking up a little hungover on a Saturday or Sunday, get down there for their brunch, because that McNasty, the steak tips that are actually French toast sticks.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
And that wasn't mean that they were burnt or anything. I want to get that out in the forefront here. Those were just delicious. We were like, it was incredible. And then those, like, the Fluffernutter pancakes, those were something.
They had good crowd, a chill crowd as well, which I love for brunch.
Yeah.
Some places you go to brunch and, like, doesn't matter how, but it's like hectic.
Yeah, it gets a little rowdy. People
and it's like,
going.
Oh, dude, it's like I'm battling a hangover.
Yeah.
Like, it was a wonderful vibe. Great brunch, great food.
Like, we did it when we did it at
a lot of fun.
Crack, I like literally texted everyone in my contacts like a month before, and then like we got there, had a great night. Don't get me wrong, but the podcasting wise, no one could hear a thing. This the Drifters, we kind of let people know the week of. And don't get me wrong, I think we still had pretty good attendance there. Some straight shout out Quincy High football there. Richie Turpin came on, had a great interview. I mean, that's all I got to say about him.
They're rumors, award show. They're rumors.
Yeah, the rumor trees are out. Shout out to Joey Boats, too, for coming on.
Yes, I saw him
on another pod the other day. He jumped into his whole 9/11 spiel of how it was, you know, that nice day that day, I'll leave it at that.
Great kid.
Go back and listen to the episode. You want to hear the end of that? Yeah, we'll hop in. We got the Patriots. We got five questions presented by the office of Patrick J. Foley and some in the miscellaneous column with the Celtics gambling scandal. What we think of it with Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups getting snatched up. And college football recap, Miami bounces back. I won big money on Ole Miss. We'll get to that. But first and foremost, the forefront here is the New England Patriots are on the stamp of approval of officially back.
Yeah.
6-2. Won 5 straight games.
Absolutely.
Their quarterback is it's no longer like this joke. He is in top 3 of the MVP candidates after week 8, which we're halfway through the season. Let's get real. We're halfway through.
100%.
And this is real. From top to bottom, offensively, defensively, don't get me wrong, Myles Garrett dominated, you know, Will Campbell in the offensive line last week. We'll get into the games and going forward here. But more or less, this team has been spot on, you know, all three phases of the game.
Absolutely. No, they looked incredible. The defense after that first drive buckled down to let them to get nothing. That first drive was fucking brutal, respectfully.
Yeah.
But they bounced back. They bounced back quick. Offense got it going. Looks great. That was their best rushing attack as a unit.
Oh, for sure.
The entire season.
I mean, I saw like a tweet or, you know, someone posts stats every week. I think they've held each like top running back on each team the last 5 weeks to, you know, under 60 yards, which is a huge win in the NFL. I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when it's like that's not really like your strong suit or how people perceive us anyway. Like, it statistically is, but, like, some defenses, like, if a defense does that, it's usually, like, fucking, like, an old school, like, Ravens team or something that, like, they're known for their defense and, like, shut everything fucking down.
And if you make any NFL team one-dimensional on offense, you're going to have a pretty good damn, in this instance, you're stopping the running game, you're going to have a pretty good damn quarterback to beat you. I get Buffalo was, you know, injured that night, but, you know, a win's a win. I think, you know, Josh Allen could have definitely, he had moments to take over that game and he didn't because the defense came to play. If I want to do one, the glass is half empty take on the Patriots is you got to get out the better starts. These first drives defensively, you know, with a touchdown. I was with my family watching the game last Sunday. You're better off taking first touchdown score the other team. Like this week they're playing Atlanta. Bijan Robinson should have a circle around him for first time TD.
Yeah.
maybe we can switch things around. But that's really how it's gone. You know, people saying that, yeah, we played a crap schedule. First of all, you can only play the teams on your schedule. Second of all, if you're not ready to play on Sunday, you're going to get beat by any team in the NFL. I mean, you see teams dropping left and right, losing. You know, someone lost to the Titans a couple weeks ago. That was Arizona. You know, the Bengals, who are, you know, borderline playoff, at least right now, halfway through this. They lost the 0-7 Jets the other day.
Well, you're just, like, fighting for your life to get, like, where Joe Burrow back. That was devastating loss. Was, like, probably the shittiest loss.
Especially because they had a great win against the Steelers the week before. I mean, we're not going to become a Bengals podcast here. But that's what we saw. What I'm trying to say is that this is real. We've won 5 straight games. Our quarterback is elevating everyone around us. On them, on offense, even the fans. I mean, the fans, I guess being in that building last week was a different, you know, testament to other weeks. I happened to be there for the Carolina one. I think it was kind of, you know, I think we were 1-2 at that point. Now that, you know, they get the 6-2, you know, everyone's kind of getting on the Patriots bandwagon, and why not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there was, I think it was like Cam Newton who was like, came out and was like, oh, the best deep ball in the league. Like, slandering kind of Drake May and trying to like quiet that down. There's like a chart, an efficiency chart, and I forget the exact parameters of what it, how it goes. But Drake May on throws over 10 yards is literally like off the chart from every quarterback in the fucking league. Yep. Like he's literally like off it, and it's like in the middle. He got the big names you would think of, and obviously like you know like Patrick Mahomes is like probably the closest one to him, but he's still fucking miles away.
You would think Cam Newton to a former, I'm not even saying like, you can say whatever you want about Drake May, him and as an analyst, I mean, he's a former NFL MVP. He's awful. I can't believe that like ESPN's even paying him right now. I'll leave it at that. I kind of can't stand Cam Newton when it comes to, you know, his talk.
Yeah, it's respectfully as a member of the game here. It's podcasty and it's like you're on ESPN, dude.
Yeah, you gotta
like it's like he's fucking like I don't know.
Especially that I know that clip. That was 90 seconds of him not even saying anything, just complaining about, oh, how dare you say this about a second year quarterback over other quarterbacks. Like get over yourself. Honestly, Drake May idolizes Cam Newton. He grew up in the, you know, Carolinas. Yeah. That was kind of the guy when Drake May was growing up. I mean, 23 years old. Think about 10 years ago. That was probably Cam Newton's heyday. And, you know, he's sitting there at 13 as a teenager, probably having a Cam Newton jersey on. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just how the cookie crumbles there. Receiving-wise, Mac Hollins had 7-8 receptions. Yeah. He was tremendous. I mean, him on a quick, like, 7-yard out is almost – I will have to say this, almost impossible to stop. A guy 6'5", unless you're playing on the outside there, it's real – like, he's a great third down, a great red zone, you know. And that's what I mean. Stephon Diggs, Kayshon Booty, don't get me wrong, those guys are eating right now, but he's really spreading the wealth when I mean Demario Douglas, even in a lesser role, making big plays. Both tight ends, Hooper had a touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so, they look good.
Yeah, the running game seems to be coming. I saw they just signed to the practice squad D'Ernest Johnson. You remember him?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
On the Browns, so they got a little bit more room with
great name.
Yeah. With Gibson going down, Henderson, I'm not going to say it's his coming out game, but he had his best game against the Browns, had a couple good rushes there where, you know, he needs to just quit the dance and then just run right through people. I think that's it, the name of his game that he needs to start getting after.
Didn't matter, obviously, but like that one fumble away from like the best fucking game of the year for a running back. It was like, dude, if you didn't drop that one, and that's just like nitpicking, that was like the best game of the year for like a running back we pretty much had.
I think as a team base, it was even cooler though, because they didn't really turn over the ball besides that pick that Drake May just, you know, didn't. He did see the guy, but it just got spied. What I was trying to put out there, they fumbled on the 1 yard line, and then 2 plays later, they got him with a safety. So it was perfect. It was the best of both worlds.
That was the last pass. If I was the Browns coach, we're on to fucking whoever's next on the depth chart.
It's Shoedeur Sanders, so I don't know if they want to bring that attention in. To him.
Dude, that safety, that was just like one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is box office. You might want to put Sanders in the lineup instead of 7-year Dylan Gabriel. I can't believe he's not still in college. That guy is in the record books for college football just because he's played so long.
Oh, absolutely.
Played for 100%. Three different schools. At least 3 different.
And schools that rip offense too. Yeah. Like that's why he's like
Oklahoma,
up there.
Oklahoma, Oregon. Yeah. I think he played at UCF, one of those Floridas. So yeah, he's been around in there and back. Trade thoughts actually last night. They traded Kyle Duggar, who got a spell wrong in here. Kyle Duggar to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's gonna be with Peppers there. On the safety front, and then they also traded Keon White, which both guys weren't really playing to begin with. Keon White was a healthy scratch last week. I think they just knew they were going to trade him. They traded him off to San Fran. Well, like I said, Duggar is with the Steelers. I think they just trimmed the fat, and hopefully that kind of is loading them up to make a couple big trades here at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely. It definitely shows, I think, much more for White that, like, that was a trade, like, dude, we just, like, don't really want you anymore. And like, Duggar, I think they were trying to, like, trim the fat, get somewhere. Like, these two guys are playing better. He got beat out by some younger players for his spots. Like, let's get something for him. Like, White, I think they were just like, dude, we, like, don't want you in this building anymore. Like, literally just fucking leave. Like, a sixth-round pick, I think.
Yeah, and outside of, like, Marcus Jones, who just got the extension, Kavion Chaisson, who took White's playing time, has been one of their best players on defense.
No, he looks really good.
So, I mean, it's good to have depth, but I'm really wondering what they're going to do with this trade deadline here. They should make some moves defensively. I'm not saying a big splash like an A.J. Brown or a Trey Hendrickson. I just don't think that's going to happen, taking on a big contract. But they could definitely make some moves where, you know, you can get some starters on other teams. I don't really know any names specifically, but I'm sure next week when we see it from Schefter, we'll be like, oh, yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
oh, yeah. One I just saw that was out there was Arden Key.
Arden Key.
From the Titans. He was an LSU guy. He was a savage. So always liked the LSU guy.
Yep. Like that.
He's been okay. I mean, he hasn't, like since he's been there, the Titans have just been abysmal, so it's kind of hard to really crunch the numbers on him and see how good he plays, you know what I mean, when you're on the worst fucking team in the league.
Yeah, I would like, I mean, this is a wish list right now.
Of course.
I would like an edge rusher, I would like a linebacker, and I would like a safety.
Yeah, well, that'd be a good linebacker.
So, linebacker, edge rush, and then actually Jalen Hawkins probably played his best game as a New England Patriot last week and made an outstanding catch with the interception. Their secondary, couple guys getting paid $18 million for Carlton Davis coming this year has been, you know, dog shit, but other guys that play well. Marcus Jones just inked a 3-year, $36 million deal, I believe. Don't know how much guaranteed money, but he's been great for this defense. It's definitely a team-friendly deal. I think he could have got more in the offseason if he tried going to another team, test the market.
He's killing it.
Also, he's probably the top punt returner in the NFL. So, I mean, you check all those boxes, man, that's a steal for the Patriots.
100%. Yeah.
And actually, they had Jonathan Jones in that position, and they signed him to an extension, which is kind of obviously, money plays different as years go, but I feel like that's a similar contract to what they did with Jonathan Jones like 3 years ago. Same like slot corner, except, you know, Marcus Jones brings a different dimension playing, you know, special teams. And, you know, I don't think they're going to need him offensively this year, but he could definitely go in for a package or two. He can play.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well. And you never know, especially with Josh McDaniels. So that could be like the later it gets in the year, the bigger games get. You could definitely. Like, he's sitting there scheming fucking something for Marcus Jones to come in and do something.
No, I would love
not
it
see
they,
it for a while.
Yeah, I think that's cool because, I mean, that's what most good offensive coordinators do, and that's what McDaniels has done over the years. He doesn't try to show his cards until he absolutely has to show them, which, I mean, every team watches tape during the week. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you bring up Marcus Jones in the offense too early, like in week 3, you're not going to have that same play for, you know, when you're trying to clinch division in week 15 against the Bills.
Exactly. So,
That's something to look at there. I did watch a little Sound FX with Josh McDaniels. It was pretty cool because, you know, they kind of struggled in the first half. And Diggs was like, yo, let me talk to them. Like, is there anything you want me to say? And McDaniels said, hey, just we're all good. Just cool off and we'll get this going. And they got it going in the second half. You know, he's known for his, you know, call it razzle-dazzle. The throw to Stevenson back to May to, I think, Matt Collins. It was for probably like 20 yards. But we've seen that, you know, with the Edelman, Amendola thing in the playoffs. Just cool to really some trickery and call it some spaz into this, you know, offense.
Spaz.
Spazzy, jazzy.
Spaz. Fucking Naz over here. No, but it is crazy. Like, just one of the craziest careers, because, like, literally just, like, all-time great offensive coordinator with the Patriots, and then just, like, the shittiest the fucking shit, the anywhere worst. Else. He, like, he throws off the Patriots clothes and just sucks.
I don't understand. Like,
it's unbelievable.
And, like...
It's, like, three different stints. Like, yeah. It's not just, like... You don't went somewhere and sucked. Like,
you don't want to coach college football right now. Like, you don't want to do that unless you go to an Alabama or a bit like that, because the recruiting process is crazy. Well, he's better off just – I think I looked the other day. He's, like, 49 years old. He should just be the offensive coordinator for, like, the next, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
And, like, just may probably be a Hall of Famer. Like
– Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he probably, like – I mean, can you get in as an offensive coordinator? I don't know. Maybe. That's a good trivia question.
I mean, he would definitely like have a better like resume
than anyone
on the off, because like everyone that's at the level he's at would like go on to head coach. So like,
agreed.
Yeah,
we'll see. That'd
yeah,
be good
fuck.
To know.
Who knows?
So the Pats are hosting Atlanta this Sunday before a big tilt in Tampa the week after. We might have to get back in here for back to back weeks for Magic if. You know, they got Tampa next week, but Atlanta's coming off an awful loss to at home against Miami. It's weird because they like handled the Bills and then got blown out by Miami and Carolina. We beat all three of those teams, but like, I don't know. They look pretty damn impressive against Buffalo. They have no Penix. I think Cousins is going to play again this week. Drake London didn't play last week. That could be a factor. He comes back this week. See what happens. Bijan Robinson has been pretty good. I mean,
very
throughout
good
his
player.
Career, yeah. I think he's a top three running back, and I don't think he's three. It's going to be another challenge, I think. But, you know, I think they just need to survive the first half as they've just been doing these games and then really taking control in the second half. And that's going to be stopping Bijan Robinson and making Kirk Cousins beat you, which I think they can do that. I have the Pats at least winning by 7 in this game.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. 14.
Yeah, 14. You think it's a blowout?
They were out, like you mentioned, how they were beaten by the Panthers and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They were outscored 64-10 in those two games. Get the fuck out of here with the Falcons. And what happens? Like, Penix is out. Oh, my God. Kirk Cousins is coming in.
Just feed me.
Yeah, dude. Fucking dude, eat him alive.
Like today's NFL, you need, like, Kirk Cousins was good for the Vikings. I think he had his days in Washington, but it's really tough to be a pocket passer in today's NFL. Like, if you can't move at all, dude, good luck. Speaking of that, I did see Atlanta lost to Mac Jones too, so throw that on the shit list.
Yes.
So yeah, I got Pats all day by at least 7. I think 5.5 is a spread that they can cover here.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Didn't get too much into it, just going back to the Browns for a second, fucking 5 sacks, dude. Miles Garrett, man. Jesus fucking Christ.
Dude, that's just
that
like...
That guy is a monstrosity, man.
It's what he signed up for. I think he got a 4-year, billion-dollar deal just to go back to Cleveland after he requested his trade. He's going to have 5 sacks and lose by about 30 points. That's
like,
just how it's
going
to go
down. And you're the guy they're like trying to block, like actively trying to block. And you got 5. That is half a season of a good player.
Yeah, this
in one game.
There's probably 10 to 12 guys in professional sports where you can just look at him and be like, that guy does not look like he's human.
Yeah.
And
Miles
Garrett's that. I mean, this guy's playing baseball right now. You look at Shohei Ohtani, like Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
But yeah, that physical specimen and Miles Garrett, I would. He's not going to get traded at the deadline. He's just owed too much money. It's just not going to happen this year. But I would literally get – that would be a 3 first-round pick, like a stamp of approval
with
for that guy.
Without a fucking
question. Not even a question.
We'd have to, like, think and hope for those first-round picks. Like, we would just have Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
Like, instead of waiting for, like, this guy to fall to us or, like, evaluate positions,
like, no,
we would just have Miles Garrett.
At 29, 30 years old. Like, is legit
no
prime.
Fucking brainer.
Yeah. I've never seen that early in a defensive player's career where it's already, if he retired today, he's a no doubt Hall of Famer. I mean, he should win Defensive Player of the Year again, either him or Micah Parsons. I looked at the odds before we came on here. That's the only thing. It's like the, Joe Thomas, like all those years, they were actually way worse back then. And Joe Thomas was, oh, but they got an all-pro, like, offensive guard, tackle, yeah, whatever it was. Now it's like, all right, like, Myles Garrett's there, like, one grade, you know, going to be a Hall of Fame type player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a warrior.
There was not, yeah, not, not really, not too many substantial. I do like the Judkins guy. I think he could, you know, do something for the Browns. Jerry Jeudy, I didn't even know he's on the team till after the game. He did nothing.
Because fucking dude, he's one of the guys you got to like kind of like slide it in there like with a good quarterback, and like they just simply don't have that.
No, he was sick at Bama, but he hasn't done shit since then. So yeah, so we're running with the Pats here. Seems like it's going to be another one at home. 7-2 going into the Tampa game, damn, that means so that'd be 9 games after. There'd be 7 left. So you just need to go you need to go 3-4. Yeah, call it 4-3 to get 11 wins. And you're playing the Jets twice and the Dolphins once. So that's what I'm saying. You can say we're back as a Patriots fan.
Oh, yeah, no, it's extremely there. We were talking, and this was like going back to the preseason. Like, this schedule helps us out so much this year. Not our fault.
No. Can that's only just play the teams on the schedule.
Is this like the best schedule of all time for a fucking like
shit team to shit come team back? To
like break out? Like definitely.
Oh yeah. But I think they've showed their worth. I mean, this kid Drake May's just been incredible. Even like his mistakes you can live with. Like that pick, it sucked, don't get me wrong. He said he saw the guy spying coming back. That shit happens. You're not gonna, I mean, think about going the season. If you were sitting at 6-2, your quarterback was 15 touchdowns, 3 picks, and Stephon Diggs couldn't be happier. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. No. That's asking for too much.
Yeah.
Way too
it's
much.
It's unbelievable.
5 straight games. I think can go to 6. We'll talk about Tampa next week, but that I'm hoping they don't have a hiccup here because going 7-2 in there, I can't believe they're not going to flex that game. They're not flexing the game. It's going to be a 1 o'clock start. I did see it's Steelers-Chargers Sunday night, which is a decent game. Even going to 425 like that route there, I would have approve that. I just 1 o'clock. I don't know. I guess get your popcorn ready at 12:30 because a big game's gonna come on. Not this Sunday. The Sunday after.
No, should be great. Should be great. So, but we gotta kick the shit out of the Falcons.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As Conor McGregor would say, I'm not looking past this opponent. I'm looking right through it.
Exactly.
I wish Magic was here because we would already get the slander going of how Drake May isn't it, and Baker Mayfield is. Which, like, Tampa's kind of my second favorite team, but definitely not next week. No. Actually, definitely next week, because they'll be my second favorite team on the field.
Nah, this is true.
The Patriots. All right, we're going to hop into the, 5 questions presented by the Law Office of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for proper legal representation for first time or second time or any time home buyers, look no further than Patrick J. Foley. His law offices are located on 265 Willow Street in Quincy, Mass. I know plenty of friends who have gone through him, the legal work. He's done a great job. 5 questions here. Number 1, active players. What is the Mount Rushmore of current Boston athletes right now?
Current Boston athlete. So Tatum and Brown.
You think?
Yeah.
Tatum and Brown. Okay.
Pasta.
Yeah. Pasta in.
I'm trying to get like all sports. I know I already did 2 in 1 sport.
Yeah.
So I like can't.
No, but that's
it.
Fine. Dude, get the four best.
Yeah, 4. Might be fucking Crochet.
Yeah. Mine was like that, but I'm putting Drake May in there instead of Jaylen Brown because let's get real. We got 6 Super Bowls here. This is a football town. Got the quarterback finally playing well. I'm throwing him on there over Jaylen Brown. If you want to be like, oh, injuries don't count, I'll throw Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum. But if you can give me my core 4, it's Pasternak, Crochet, Drake May, and who didn't I mention there? Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tatum and Pasta have been here. Like that's like 2 just like
solidified.
We can't debate
that. Yeah, yeah.
That's just like.
And who was your Red Sox MVP this year? I don't think it was close. I think it was your ace pitcher.
Yeah. So if I go there, all 4 sports, it would be Drake May for me.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have the same thing.
No, so you're.
But Brown's been here
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, you're going. He's been here forever. And that's a fair play. I just think at the end of the day, I love all 4 teams, but I think this is a football town. I think if you have a quarterback that's you know, MVP consideration. You got to start building that statue. Got to get it going.
Got to get one more on the other end.
Yeah, you know? Can't wait. Can't wait for the first Super Bowl. Looking forward to it. Number two, a team outside of the Patriots you like to watch right now. So there's a lot going, you know. Trying to think this week. On my no bet list officially, the Chicago Bears, they couldn't fucking fifth string Tyler Huntley in a game. They lost by 2 touchdowns. I apologize, folks. That was my Drifters lock of the week. Now I think I'm down to 5-3, which is not a bad record, but the Bears are now on my do not bet list because that's just ridiculous.
As they like kind of should have been.
Yeah. I'll say one team here. I would say the Indianapolis Colts are the hottest team in the NFL.
No, the Colts are a good watch.
Right on the shoulders of Jonathan Taylor. He's an MVP. He'll never win MVP. Just running backs don't do that. And then Danny Dimes actually has been great for the Colts. They have the biggest, I was going to call it runs, like scoring differential in the league. Only team over 100 points, which means they're just dominating teams.
Yeah.
They're just dominating teams.
I think it's got to be the Lions for me.
Yeah, Lions.
Everything about them.
Yeah.
They're kind of like shit-talky now. They just got the Dan Campbell like mentality. I kind of love it.
Real gritty.
Kind of gives me like old school like Seahawks vibes.
So the question is that you would like to watch, not like the best team. So I'm...
I like watching that shit talk.
No. I'm just proving your point. I'm just thinking of like Kansas City's kind of getting hot, but fuck them kind of. I like the Packers. Packers got a great defense. Jordan Love played great against Pittsburgh in the second half the other night. That's a team to look out for. I think that's the number one seed right now in the NFC. Tough NFC there.
Pittsburgh's good, but kind of an awful watch.
Awful watch. The word, the
like
they're
like
the
record's good. They're probably gonna make the playoffs, but like it's a tough watch.
No, it's the same team they have every year. They'll finish 9-8, 10-7, get like the 6th or 7th seed, and just get dummied in the first round.
Yeah, no, it's a tough watch. I mean, they haven't been going for the past couple of weeks, but like with Josh Allen and the Bills are like cooking.
Actually,
they're a good team to watch.
Surprising fun watch has been the Denver Broncos. They put who they play last week. The team wasn't that good, but they put a shit stomping on them. Broncos, who'd they play?
Oh, was it the comeback versus the Giants?
No, it was the Cowboys. I didn't even see that one. But Bo Nix was letting a rip. He couldn't. And they have a good running game with Dobbins and the kid RJ Harvey. Their defense has been pretty much solid the entire season. I think they're sitting at 6-2 as well. I think they've had a little bit tougher schedule, but not too much. If you look at the playoff seedings right now, I know we're 8 weeks in the season, but New England at 2, Denver at 3, Pittsburgh at 4. I mean, see how that plays out. The Colts are the number one overall seed. Yeah, so look at strength of schedule here. We're sitting with the lowest at 0.344. That means the teams we've played so far are combined 0.344. So it's
not our fault.
It's where we're at. That's where we're at. So if you want to be a defender of that. The Tennessee Titans are in dead last, and their strength of schedule is 0.633. So they're playing some tough opponents.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think goes into the Colts because the Colts are 7-1. Three, we're getting away from football real quick. How bad are the Boston Bruins?
Pretty fucking bad.
But they...
Good win. Great win last night, though.
And they're playing... I just been saying this. They've been playing really hard.
Oh yeah, no, dude, they're not quitting in any game. Like fucking that Ottawa game. That was
a shit show.
Those happen to every team throughout the year.
But they've been playing hard for Marcus Sturm. Even like, go down. Their first part of the season there was fucking tough. Besides the first, after the first three games where you played the drunk Ovechkin, Chicago, and Buffalo, you got the Lightning, Golden Knights, Avalanche, and the Panthers, where you lost your five game losing streak there. You know, it seems like they're going to keep riding. You know, Swayman, even Korpisalo played pretty good last night, and then McAvoy, Pastrnak going to have to lead the way. Morgan Geekie, obviously a guy who you need, a great player. Pastrnak saying today that he's been getting in his ear saying you can be a 50-goal scorer. I'm liking that in the leadership. I think 88 needs to see sooner than later.
Yeah. No, he's put it all together. And I mean, it's like no matter what happens, though, Pasta's still fucking...
Oh, he's ripping
goals. He's there.
He just had his 400th career goal the other night. Isn't that nuts?
Oh, yeah.
He's played Yeah, he's played like 11 years now. He is at, might be at 390. He's around 400. So.
No, yeah, the like the names ahead of him for like the last like 5 years in goals is literally like Ovechkin and like Kucherov and Draisaitl.
Yeah, which is
and, like
insane.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's not like Pastrnak hasn't been. I mean, now he is, but he was playing with other guys who score, you know, scores. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, Morgan Geekie, actually, got the stat sheet up now. Morgan Geekie's got 8 goals on the season, 12 games, so he's getting hot. The third guy on that line, is it Elias Lindholm, got 4-2. Casey Mittelstadt has been on the sheet a little bit. Pavel Zaka, I fucking hate his guts, but I think he's playing all right. There's going to be a lot of guys on this list. We're going to quickly learn them as the season goes on. This guy, Michael Eisenman, I did see him on the score sheet the other day.
Yes.
Let's see his bio. He's from Littleton, Colorado. Oh, wow. He is a lot older than I thought. He's like 30 years old. Oh, he's playing on a shitload of teams. All right, never mind. I thought he was like a prospect. We'll get skipped there, but they're sitting at 5-7. With, I think, a tough road again coming up.
Yeah, I like Arvidsson a lot, too.
Yeah.
He's a gamer.
Yep. I like...
Not really? On the score sheet too much, but fucking... Yeah. He's out there being a dick.
And then, like, Mason Lowry, like, all those guys, seems like they're hopping in, doing what they can. I mean, they have Buffalo Thursday. That's a chance to win another game. Carolina is always a tough out on the weekend. And then New York, you get Ottawa again, Toronto twice. So, I mean... You'll get your up and down games, don't get me wrong, but can they like inch closer? Can they actually, I would like to see their gameplay step up a little bit against these better teams.
Oh yeah, I mean plenty of time to bounce back. If you're gonna have a fucking 7-game losing streak, have it in games 3 to 10 of the season.
Yeah.
Like get it out of the way.
That would be
big.
Both
plenty of time to bounce back.
Yeah, both goalies' goals against are in the threes. Not good, but not surprising for a team that's, you know, struggling out of the gate.
No, and like Swayman just had that 7-to-fucking-whatever game. That just, this early in the year, that smokes your stats. Your stats got to fucking,
That's like when a relief pitcher comes in and gets his tits rocked.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Your ERA today, 80. 80. Yep. Like,
if you're never seen again, that's your ERA.
Yeah, that's it, man.
You're screwed.
Like you bombed it.
Question number 4, picks of the week. So we are going to start with your pick. I'll start with my pick of the week, at least me standing here. I'm going to dip right into a big game here. Broncos on the road against the Texans. Texans actually favored at home, 1.5-point spread. I got the Broncos taking it on the road. Tough spread here. Tough spread for them. Yeah. 1 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
No, it is tough.
There's some mismatches. Tough. There was a lot of blowouts last week. Thursday night football, we'll be getting our Thursday night picks on tomorrow night, recording on a Wednesday. Ravens and Dolphins with the return of Lamar Jackson. So we'll see that.
Yep. I know the Chiefs are back to being hot, but the Bills beat them in the regular season.
All day, every day.
It's just when they can't, it's like they're going to probably meet again in the playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes is going to pull off some bullshit, but Bills at home versus the Chiefs regular season. I think the Bills got it done.
It's a good pick. Even a 3-point, call 2.5, 3-point spread. I think you're looking good there. Gonna be one of those, you know, back and forth who has the ball last type of games.
Absolutely. As it always is with them.
So if you want to truly sweat, take Steele's pick.
That's what it's all about. That's why you want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want one that ends in the first half and then you're just waiting for the 4 games. Which is also kind of sick too, because you're like, I won money, but unless you're in for it for the thrill instead of the money. I mean, I like sweating.
you gotta have one of those.
Yeah, you gotta let it rip. Sunday night football, Seahawks. I did talk about Sam Darnold, you know, having a good year so far against the beat up Washington Commanders. Commanders kind of got beat up by the Chiefs Monday night. Seahawks favored by 3 points on the road. Who do you like here?
I like the Seahawks.
Love the Seahawks.
Terry just went down too, so
yeah.
I think the Commanders are just at a point right now they can't overcome the injuries.
Yeah, their defense was great last year, and it's kind of so-so this season.
You got Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was like MVP caliber last year, and he's playing injured, so he's not having the same effect on the games that he has been having as of last year.
JSN is going to be a Pro Bowler this year, at least, if not a Pro. He's been great. Sam Darnold, as much shit as people talk, including myself, saw him at Republic down in Charleston, what was that, last March? he was about to start his mini camps with the Vikings. Happened to see him in the bathroom. I wished him a good luck. I want to say that good luck propelled him into a huge contract, so he owes me some money.
What a turnaround. You changed Sam Darnold.
I remember we were sitting there and podcast friend Will, I was like, that's Sam Darnold over there. And like looked it up and it was exactly like we found him out. And then yeah. He just happened to walk in the bathroom and I was there and I didn't want to bother him, but I just said good luck because I thought he needed it. I guess he did. Maybe he did, or maybe the polar opposite. He didn't. He just said, fuck you. And
needed to be out of the Jets organization.
Yeah. So we're on the Seahawks here. I think that's going to be your surprise team. I think they have a chance of winning the NFC West over the Rams. We shall see, though, as it plays out. Monday night, you have a bit of a shitstorm between two teams that have no idea what's going on. The Arizona Cardinals are on the road against the Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 2.5. I almost don't want to pick a team and just pick the over. The over is already at like 54 here. Both these teams just have zero defense at all times, including the Cowboys. That was just an absolute track meet that they weren't even a part of last week against the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you let Bo Nix look like Drake May.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was waiting to use that all if I was going to pick, I would just, out of just how bad the Cardinals shoot themselves in the feet, I would say the Cowboys here, 2.5 covering at home.
I think I like the Cardinals because of like the level of shit show this game is. And you got it under the lights, and like that's when the Cowboys puke on themselves the most.
Yeah.
Like there like is no under the lights for the Cardinals. Like no one gives a fuck. Like no one cares. On
yeah,
the
no
planet.
One cares.
But the Cowboys, all eyes on them, Monday Night Football, home game, Jerry World. You lose to the Cardinals. That's what they do.
Tickets as low as $17 to get in the door. They should be cheaper. They should be fucking cheaper.
Looking like Drake, man. Bastard.
Question number five, last question here. How entertaining is this World Series? Again, recording on a Wednesday night. It's tied 2-2 right now, but I'll come out first and foremost here. It has been incredible.
It's been fucking electric, and I hate it so much. I absolutely despise it. I watched every inning of that game.
The 18?
Stayed up really? All 18.
I called it after, I think, 11, but I was just the fact that Shohei Ohtani 4-for-4, two homers, and then they intentionally walked him like 4 or 5 times. He was on base like 10 times.
Yeah.
10 times.
No, and I loved when they went to the manager. They were like, can we like expect to see like Ohtani walked more? It was like the Blue Jays manager, and he was just like,
Yeah.
Like just cold face looked him in the eye. It was like, yeah.
If it's a 5-5, whatever it was, ball game. Yeah. If he can do just make one swing to make them win, we're just gonna walk him. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's all it takes. Right now, actually, live, Blue Jays are up 2-0. Schneider and Guerrero both went deep so far. Guerrero's been a killer. Almost want to call him the second coming of David Ortiz in this postseason. He's been electric. I think he's got 7-8 home runs on the
Oh, yeah.
The
no, postseason. When it comes to morale, his home run off Ohtani probably like saved a season for now. Because like losing that game was crushing. And then I think it was the second inning. You're facing this fucking monstrosity who, like, you literally just walked, like, 9 times, so he didn't win the game. Like, he's that good.
And then...
And like, now he's the starter pitcher.
Yes.
And he just took him to the fucking moon. Like, that's how you bounce back. Get your team back into it.
You can't hang a curveball like that to fucking Guerrero. He hung that. Oh, yeah, no. So that was taken deep. I'm personally, along with probably most of the baseball world, is rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm rooting for the demise of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Basically just the Monstars against Canada. I mean, at this point, going through their lineup, you just have Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts to start off the game. Like, that's every game.
Yeah.
Like, that's insanity. And then you actually have playoff Kiki Hernandez, who made an unbelievable jump in the stands last night. First pitch... First or second pitch of the game, had the dive in the stands for a ball, made a catch.
I think I hate like 95% of this series.
Yeah.
Like individually, like they're all great players. Like Ohtani's like the best player I've ever seen. Freddie Freeman, Hall of Famer. Mookie Betts, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Outside of Freddie Freeman, I fucking hate
like everyone that's just been mentioned. I like Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman.
I hate Kiki Hernandez so fucking much. Like, everyone that got up, I was like, oh, this fucking guy, I hate this guy.
Yeah. And then did you see in the – you saw because you watched the whole game. They had – after Yamamoto threw a 100-pitch, like, complete game, like, 2 days prior, they – maybe even yeah, just like one day prior, they just had him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's just a machine. He throws six different pitches and they can all strike you out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Lauer. They had him in. He did like the Nathan Eovaldi. Like he gave like five innings or something like that, like out of the pen. Like yeah. he was up at like 70 pitches as a guy who probably throws like 30 a week.
That's why I hope the series plans out, because after that happened with the Muncy homer back in 2018, everything just went right for the Red Sox. I'm hoping that happens to Toronto. I think Toronto... They're both deserving, obviously, the best team. And then I think you can say now these are the two – these have been the two best teams all season.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fair. All right. Yeah, my family member, Alejandro Kirk, hopefully he gets it going with a couple dingers.
That guy
– same body shape.
That guy needs to hit – like a walk-off home run, because like that, like what that man needs to achieve to me to associate him with anything other than getting that thrown out from right field. Like he needs to do so much.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like too about these. You don't have to watch like the first three innings, then you just hop in whenever.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. See the score. What else we got here? We have a miscellaneous column. Those were the five questions presented by the Office of Patrick for Jay Foley. I'm going to hop into the last sponsor of the night, the Filehouse Cafe. If you're looking for, you know, a neighborhood pub, looking for some great eats, look no further than the Filehouse Cafe, located at 1049 Hancock Street, Quincy, Mass., right across from the old Central. I don't know how else to explain that location. What's the early Americans across from it, too? I guess we'll give them some pub. Right down the street from Quincy Center, basically. It's in Quincy Center. But yeah, either
Rosa
way.
Rosafa next door.
Yeah.
But
John McNeil, great guy, the owner. Yeah, great dude, great pizzas. Anything, though. Prime rib, sangy, they got it all. Celtics 1-3, they can't really rebound. They're playing tonight and actually blowing out the Eastern Conference favorite Cleveland Cavaliers. This guy, Josh Minot. He's started the past two games. He's been just a solid player. Is he rookie?
I don't think
so. No,
I think he was somewhere like Minnesota or something.
Minnesota. Okay, so.
And he never really played. He was just kind of like an odd man out.
So then they're giving guys like Cade is playing like 25 minutes a night now. Actually, Jaylen Brown's having a big night. He's got 28 points leading the scores here. Sam Hauser coming off the bench, 15 points. Anthony Simons clearly can't play defense, but has, you know, played good offensively, shooting the ball well. Hopefully they can get it together a little bit more. They started out 0-3, but there are three kind of close games. I think they're going to get on the right track.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like they were, especially opening night, that was a tough loss.
Yeah.
But solid teams. Arch rivals that are gunning for you because your best player that's kicked all of their asses is not on the court. Like they wanted, and when you're down a player of Jason Tatum's caliber to start the season, like you're simply not going to be as good.
Yeah.
Like the Celtics have always recently, you know, come out strong, started the year pretty good. It's just going to be tougher this year. We're not like the road to repeating fucking... It's not going to be that easy.
Especially the way they play. I mean, they play three ball and then get back on defense. If they're not hitting their shots, they're going to have a tough season. I mean, I guess that's with or without Jason Tatum. But, you know, for people to step up and Derek White, I think it's going to be very key of their bench, including I know Peyton Pritchard's been starting, but he's a guy that needs to step up. It has to all kind of be a cast around Jaylen Brown because if Jaylen Brown's the only one playing well, this team's going nowhere.
Yeah, no, but I think they will – get in the right direction. Like it was with like no need for a panic button or anything.
Oh,
like
they're absolutely
just
fucking, not.
You're just, you know what I mean? They just got a rough start. You just got to figure it out. Keep playing your game. I mean, it's hard to adjust. I mean, cause everyone that is a Celtic has been playing with Jason Tatum the entire time they've been a Celtic. Like it's different without him on the court. You're playing different basketball than you have.
Yeah. I mean, if you start at 0-3 as a football team, that's like really bad. But if you're if you want to dummy it down, basketball teams that play 81, like let's pump the brakes. 0-3 start is not that bad.
No,
can't get any worse. And they didn't like play that bad. They just, you know,
Bruins had a 3-0 start.
Yeah, yeah. That team sucks. I would like to see. I was waiting for him to get minutes the past couple of years. Name is Kate has personally one of my favorite players on the team. I'm just hoping he can be their rear protector and guy going forward, because if they have any success this year, it's going to be because of him, because that's how they lost those first three games. At least get some defensive rebounds. Offensive rebounds I can live without, but if you're not rebounding the other team's shots, there's a big problem.
No, absolutely. And I mean, he's been a leading rebounder. I think he's got like eight point something maybe.
Yeah, for sure. What else we have for tonight? We have the college football, more of your wheelhouse. What did I watch last week? I watched the Ole Miss versus Oklahoma game, and the Ole Miss quarterback, I did take Lane Kiffin and them last week. He is a Division II national champion last year, was the 60th ranked quarterback in the college. I can't believe there's 60 ranked quarterbacks in the college, you know, portal.
Oh, yeah.
So goes to Ole Miss. Ole Miss, I believe, is like 7-1. So big ups to them. Seems like Lane Kiffin might get a playoff team this year.
Yeah, no, they look really good beating Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's looked pretty good all year, especially when Mateer is playing, and he played that game.
Yep.
Needed South Carolina to pull it off versus Bama. They failed me.
Yeah, they choked.
Yeah, electric defensive battle between Missouri and Vandy. Like, that game was like 3-3 in like the third quarter.
Everyone was taking – I was surprised that, like, Vandy is legit this year. Everyone, like, good throughout last week was taking Vandy.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, wow. Dude, they're 10 and, like, actually, like, should be 10.
Yeah.
Like, they're 10. They like, I think they're 8-1.
What a world.
One loss is to Bama, who they almost beat.
And Belichick goes down overtime, 17-16.
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were a choke job.
They're up by, like, 20 points, right?
Yeah.
Tough go for those guys over there. What's it, the Bulldogs?
Cowbells looked real stupid out there.
Oh, tough go. No turkey legs. No nothing. And then another team that I bet on the night game. I did take Texas A&M. They beat the shit out of the LSU so bad they fired their coach.
Who should have been
most
fired,
deserving coach I think I've ever seen fired in my life. But all these, like, James Franklin, all these coaches that kept fired just get like a $30 million bio and they just sit on their ass.
Yeah.
That's like the dream. The dream actually isn't to coach Power 5 college football. It's to get fired and sit on your ass.
Absolutely.
I think that's like the better take.
And UCLA fucking sucks, but Indiana might win it all, man.
50 points.
Indiana is as real as it gets. Like, Indiana is a football school. Like, last year, they were up there, and it was kind of like, Indiana's not for real. You don't believe in them. That team can play with fucking any team you want to think.
So would you say if Ohio State doesn't win, Indiana is the team right there?
This week? I mean, they're in it. That is a very legitimate championship contender.
According to AP poll, they're number two right now, behind them, followed by Texas A&M. If you want to go the full rankings here, let's go to the rankings. Did we get our first? We might have got our first college football playoff rankings this week. No, I doubt it, but either way, I got, Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Bam is the first one loss team. Your boys are at number 10 there. That's weird. I don't know. Oh, AP. Okay. The AP has you literally tied in points with BYU at number 10. So you're sharing number 10 right now. I actually never seen that before.
Mm.
Maybe that happens more than you think, but that's all right, you're sitting at 10.
I don't think that existed pre the, like, college football playoff rankings.
Okay, so they're like, okay, these teams are like the same.
Yeah. The only rankings that matter are those ones technically right now.
So you got SMU this week. So you got kind of an easy schedule coming up to finish the season.
Yeah, every one of those is a trap game, though. Literally every one.
Yeah. Well, last week, I think Stanford sucks this year because it was a huge spread. I think it was like a 30-point spread. But I think he still covered it. They're not going to show him the spread on this.
Oh, yeah. No, they absolutely
demolished
that
him. Do you still hate, what's his name, the quarterback? Carson Beck.
The win over ACC rival Stanford does not win you back in my good graces after that fucking Louisville game.
What about going 12-1 and winning the ACC?
Back.
Who's like their main competition?
Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah. Georgia Tech has had a good year. They're undefeated, right?
Yeah, they're ranked higher.
Oh, wow.
They're like 7.
So let's go to ACC. Yeah. Oh, the Virginia Cavaliers, the team that Belichick almost beat. They're 7-1.
Yeah.
And the Panthers, you guys are down on the list. I mean, I guess.
Well, that's the conference, yeah.
Everyone's got one loss.
Yeah.
So I guess you just got to keep
that
winning.
That will even out. Yeah,
keep winning your games. But do you play any? Okay, so SMU is a team that has one loss.
Pitt,
team with one loss, 6-2. Okay, so that's not. You lost to Louisville, so you're going to have to. That's an uphill battle for there with the tiebreaker. Georgia Tech, have they beat anyone that's like worth like. Barely beat Clemson. That's not really anything these days. Yeah, they haven't played a team yet this season.
Yeah, but they haven't played too many close games, I don't think, either.
Kind of close besides Gardner Webb. And they actually beat the piss out of Syracuse last weekend, so I'll give you that. They played Boston College last week. I mean, coming up. So that's a win.
Trap game.
And I forgot they played Georgia at the end of the season, so that's like their season right there. College football, man. You got Ohio State, Penn State this week. Normally that's a better game, but I think Penn State's been, you know, fired coach.
No, yeah, it's a wild year. I mean, that's just like, you got to like dig for fucking a weirder top 10 than it's currently in college football right now.
Let's see. What's like the SEC game of the week? SEC game of the week is Oklahoma, Tennessee, Knoxville. I saw Oklahoma play last week. Quarterback wasn't bad. They just couldn't get it done when that mattered the most. Vanderbilt is actually on the road at Texas. So that's a big game for them. Texas served by 2.5 points at home.
Gonna need our favorite bartender's take on that.
Yeah.
Because he's a big Nashville guy these days with Vandy, but he's also like Texas's number one.
Yeah, he's
fan.
A bandwagon, you know.
You can't say anything. You can't make that trip. You can't do that.
That's fair.
Yeah, who are you?
Georgia, Florida.
What bandwagon are you on right now?
No, we're the tide's rolling hard. Big win.
Oh, we're back on Bama.
Yeah, we're back on Bama. Still, we're not. At least I'm a realist about it.
I know there's Florida's not good this year, but Georgia plays Florida too, and that's always just kind of a good one to watch.
Oh yeah,
because it's just a lot of fucking hate.
Yeah,
like good
SEC.
Rivalry. Like they fucking hate each other.
Yeah. Hopefully, there's some Gators, you know, hung. Well, that's maybe. What that's what
I think it's in Florida though.
That's what that's what LSU does, but yeah. So I didn't want to. Hopefully, PETA doesn't come out on me there. That's all I kind of had. Shout out to all the sponsors here. This is episode 199, so the next one will be episode 200. I'm sure we've done more than 200 episodes already. We did a little trial run when we first started this, but. The official 200 stamp, and you know it's kind of ironic. We did like the episode 100 party like 3 years ago in like 2 weeks. So it's like we're pretty consistent at being average. I don't know.
Yeah, getting
like
done
33 episodes a year. I don't know what they call that math. So we're there. Anything else? Got anything?
I think the week of our 200th episode is a great. Fucking week to beat the Bucks.
Yeah, I think that too, and also maybe a milk bet on the horizon.
Stay tuned.
Hopefully see you next week, Magic Mike. If not, we'll see the rest of you.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Have a good night. Go Canada. Go Pats. Drake, man.